in the section of Likutei Diburim on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, it's page 14, and it's Oz Dalid. And again, if you don't have a copy from yesterday, we have copies over here by Dov. He'll happily pass you. Okay, if you remember last week, we learned about the how the shofar takes us both forwards and backwards. How the shofar takes us into the future and gives us a taste of the shofar of Mashiach, and how the shofar takes us back to Har Sinai. We spoke about somewhat the bridge between those two. So today we're going to talk about another remez, another reminder that the shofar is crying out to us and trying to get us to connect to it. And that is Akedas Yitzchak. And you're going to learn something today from the Or Gedaliah, which he wrote a lot about in Parshas Vayera by the Akeda. But it's an amazing, amazing mahalach in Akedas Yitzchak. It makes a lot of sense and clarifies a lot of things. And you'll see how it links us to the shofar, which again is somehow supposed to remind us of the aisle of the ram that replaced Yitzchak by the Akeda. Okay, so let's look inside. He writes in Oz Dalid, bottom left-hand corner. Od Kasav Rabbeinu Sadia Gon. So I told you, Rav Sadia Gon has 10 different kavanas for shofar, 10 things that the shofar reminds us of. Okay, this is our third one. It reminds us of Har Sinai, the shofar of Har Sinai. It reminds us of the shofar that the Navi Yeshaya says, the shofar Gadol of the end of days. It also reminds us, says Rav Sadia Gon, Shetekias shofar hu lahaz kireinu akedas Yitzchak shemasar nafsho l'shamayim. When you hear the sound of the shofar, you think about the akeda. Who blew shofar? Who was blowing shofar at the akeda? V'chein anachnu nimsar nafshenu akedushas shemo v'yal zichroneinu lefanav l'tova. We too, as we recall the akeda, we think about our sacrifices, the sacrifices we have made, the sacrifices we should make. And hopefully, by making that awesome commitment that Avraham and Yitzchak made to serve Hashem, like we were learning yesterday, to go all in with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so hopefully that'll be a merit for us, and it'll help Hashem remember us positively. So let's spend this morning trying to understand how does the shofar connect us to Akedas Yitzchak, right? What exactly is the message? So, we can explain, he says, perhaps, Al Pi Divrei Chazal. Chazal explained in the Yalkut Shimoni in the Medrash in Parshas Vayera. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa Omer, Oso Ayil Shenivra Bein Hashmashos, the ram that was used to replace Yitzchak, meaning when Hashem called off the Akedah, and Avram looks up, and he sees an ayil that's Nechaz B'Svach, he sees an ayil caught by its horns in the thicket. It was created Abbas Bein Hashmashos. It's created at that unique twilight period, transitioning from Friday into Shabbos, during the original creation of the world, during those 6 days of creation. It says of Yechanina Mendoza, that amazing aisle, every bit of the aisle was used for something positive. Every bit of the aisle was used for something positive. What does that mean? Lo yatsu mimena davar levatala. Every part of that aisle was used at some point in Jewish history for something very holy. So, for example, the Medrash says, Karnav shel aisle, the horns of the aisle of the ram, smolo shetako bo bahar Sinai. The left horn was used at Har Sinai, as the Pasuk says, Vayhi kol ha-shofar, right? Like we learned last week, that the sound of the shofar was Chazak Ma'od at Har Sinai, Pasuk in Yisro. So the left horn was used at Har Sinai, and Karno shel yamin shu gadol mismala, and the right horn, which is the bigger horn, is going to be used when? No, take a guess. That's the Tekab shofar gadol of Mashiach. The big horn, the right horn, is going to be used La'asid litkoabo lasid labo, to sound in the future. Shinemar vahaya bayomahu yitaka b'shofar gadol. Like the Navi says in Yeshaya, Perachav Zayin, that it'll be on that great day that will sound the big shofar. The big shofar is the right horn. So the actual ram of Akedas Yitzchak was used throughout Jewish history. The left horn was used as the shofar of Har Sinai, and the right horn was used, or will be used, as the shofar gadol of Geula, of redemption, of Lasid Lavo. And if both of those horns, first what, came onto the scene during Akedas Yitzchak, so that means we got to figure out what does Akedas Yitzchak have to do with all this, right? Meaning when I sound the shofar, when I sound the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, I don't just think about the shofar of Har Sinai, I think about my commitment to Torah. I don't just think about the future, which is when the Jewish people are going to get their act together, do tshuva, and bring the geula. As the Rambam says, right, that tshuva is the main way to geula. The Rambam writes in Hilchos tshuva. That's maybe the answer to the question. Is tshuva a mitzvah? Well, some definitely say it is. If you look in the Rambam, I'll just mention parenthetically, according to the Rambam, tshuva may not be a mitzvah. When the Rambam writes about tshuva, what does he call the mitzvah? He doesn't call tshuva the mitzvah. He says the vidu is the mitzvah, right? He says to be mitzvah, that to confess before Hashem, is the mitzvah. So everyone asks, why doesn't the Rambam say tshuva is the mitzvah? So I'll tell you a beautiful answer. Rabbi Tzal Zsolti, one of the great Rabbanim from Yerushalayim of yesteryear, Rabbi Tzal Zsolti said, it could be the answer is that Rambam, later on, in Hilchos Tshuva, I think it's the 7th parak, where the Rambam says that Ein Yisrael Negalin, we're not going to have Geula except through Tshuva. Geula has to happen. Which means what? Tshuva has to happen. You can't really choose Tshuva. Tshuva has to happen. It's almost like we don't have free will to do Tshuva. Our job, as we're being pressured by Hashem to repent and to better ourselves, which is guaranteed to happen, our job is to do the mitzvah of vidoy, to confess, to be misvada. But since tshuva is linked to geula, just like geula is an absolute reality, it has to happen, tshuva also has to happen. So there's an element that there's not really almost a free will in tshuva. Hashem is going to force us back, whether we like it or not. And there are many psukim that say that, both in the Navi and in the Chumash. That Hashem is going to gather in the exiles, and going to bring us back. Right? You have a pasuk in Shmuel, you have a pasuk in Yirmiyah, you have a pasuk in Parshas Netzavim. Hashem is going to pull us back in. So you can't really choose tshuva. Tshuva is going to happen whether you like it or not. There was a Chabad Mashpia used to tell people, he used to tell his Talmidim. He said, Chevra, you might as well become good Jews. Because if you're not going to do it this time around, Hashem's just going to make you come back as a Gilgal, and you're going to have to do it next time around. So, like, what are you waiting for? Eventually, you're going to do it anyways. Every Jew's going to do it eventually. Ve'amei chulam tzadikim. Every Jew's going to work it out. So work it out now. Right? You can see the Talmidim thinking, so I can do whatever I want now, and I'll just work it out next time, right? Have a good time. Let's party now and work it out next time around. Right? But he said, no, you're going to have to work it out anyways. Like, you can't avoid it forever. At some point, you're going to have to learn to love learning Gemara. So you can fight it and fight it and fight it. You can say, like, you know what? A Jew needs to love Gemara, so eventually I'm going to have to do it. So why not do it now, you know? Why not do while I'm in YU right now? Tav Shin Ayin Tefs, Tav Shin Pei. Why not? Okay? So we have to figure out how, again, we have to figure out how the Tekiya Shofar, how Akedas Yitzchak, again, somehow links the past and the future. Okay, let's take a look at the top of the next page. Turn it over. Nimsa Shabakedas Yitzchak Kayukol Hagiluyim Ha'elu Shahayu B'Tekiya Shofar. So therefore, if the ram's horn, right, from the Akedah, if the aisle's left horn and right horn became the shofar of Mashiach and the shofar of Kabbalah Satorah, so apparently at Akedas Yitzchak, it was a microcosm of all of Jewish history, the kind of the bookends of Jewish history, the starting point of our people getting the Torah, the end game of what? Of tshuva, of getting to Geula. So Akedas Yitzchak is sort of that middle beam, that linchpin, that holds together all of Jewish history. So at Akedas Yitzchak, he says, all of the Giluyim, all of the revelations of the shofar of Matan Torah and the shofar of the future was all present at the Akedah. V'lachein v'tekiyas ha-shofar she'nichlal bo hazkara shal tekiyas shofar shal Matan Torah v'shela asid yesh bo memeila hazkara shal maisa Akedah. So therefore, when we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which reminds us of Kabbalah Satorah, and it reminds us of that future redemption. So it also has to remind us of the Akedah. But again, what aspect of the Akedah are we thinking about in Rosh Hashanah? We read the Akedah in Rosh Hashanah. In the Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Hashanah, we read the Akedah. But what is it about the Akedah? What happened at the Akedah that we want to think about in Rosh Hashanah? Okay? So let's take a look at the middle paragraph. If you remember, we learned yesterday that what was the difference between Nisan and Tishrei? They were both points of creation. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. In Nisan, Hashem created the world b'poel, l'maisa, actualized creation. What about in Tishrei? Hashem created the world in machshava. We spoke about what that meant yesterday. So that means every Tishrei, we're sort of what? We're being judged for our machshava. We spoke yesterday about the importance of what do I want? Where do I want to be? So now, let's think about a Kedas Yitzchak. Let's think about the role of machshava, of a willingness to do. Let's think about that through the lens of a Kedas Yitzchak. Says the Orgadal Yahu that a Kedas Yitzchak is a limud gadol achashivas shel machshava shel adam. The power of a person's machshava. Kamosha be'arnu besicha al Parshas Vayera, like I told you, he speaks about it at length in his essay on Parshas Vayera, which is where the Akedah took place. Sha'atam shelo hutzrach Avram Avinu lahakriv as Yitzchak b'poel. You're about to hear something you probably never heard. And if you have heard it, you haven't heard it like this. Why did Hashem call off the Akedah? Why did Hashem cancel it? Hayash came up his way, they're up the mountain, he stretches out his hand, he takes the knife, he's ready to go, and all of a sudden, a Malach cries out, Avram, Avram, stop! Don't do it! What, this whole thing was a joke? God changed his mind? We spoke yesterday, it's a little complicated to talk about God changing his mind. What happened? So the Orgadal Yo says an amazing thing. The reason that Avram did not need to do the Akedah Bipoel in action, you can underline it, Ki Avram Avinu b'machshavto pa'ol ki ilu osa es hakeda l'maisa. Because Avram Avinu in his mind was so fully dedicated to doing it, in his head it was done to the point that Hashem says, you don't actually have to do it. There's nothing more to gain by actually doing it, because as far as your commitment to it, the fact that you showed such a willingness to do it, in your mind, the Akedah has happened already. Hashem says, there's nothing more to gain. There's nothing more to gain by actually doing the Akedah. You remember the very strange Rashi, when after the Akedah is canceled, and Avram says, maybe I can just like cut him a little bit? Remember that Rashi? That's a real Rashi. Avram the Ish Chesed is begging, maybe I can just like make a little scar on Yitzchak? What is that? Avram's nervous. Hashem says, you don't have to do it. Avram says, but has it taken effect in the world of Maisa? I got to do a little Maisa. And Hashem says, no. Your machshava is so absolute. Your dedication to the Akedah is so complete that you don't have to do anything. Eish Kodesh Sukkos? Okay. We'll get there. You taught it to me. Yeah. You did. That's good. I was hoping that was going to play out well. That was cool. Come on, guys. That was good. Okay, we'll get there in a second. Ki Avram Avinu machshavto pa'ol ki ilu osas akedah l'maisa. Yeah, Avram Avinu in his mind was so, he was in. And that's why the Gemara says, by the way, when a person wants to do a mitzvah, it's Gemara in Brachos. I'm sure many of you have seen it. When a person wants to do a mitzvah and he's not able to because what? Because he's not able to, what does the Gemara say? It says, if you did it. You get schar as if you did it. Because you did the best you could. Right? So Avram did that, but even one step deeper. Right? Avram could have done the Akedah. He was ready to do it. He had the knife in his hand. But Hashem says, no. If you get there in Machshava, if you can get there fully, if there's no disconnect between your desire to do it and mamish, your willingness to do it, then Hashem says sometimes you don't even have to do it. That's an amazing idea. That's an unbelievable idea. Read the line one more time. Ki Avram Avinu machshavto pa'al, he achieved ki ilu asas akedah l'maisa. In his mind, he accomplished as if the akedah had happened. Ki kol hatam shebechol davar yesh sorech la'asiya v'pa'al. What is the reason that God actually makes us do things? Why can't I just, in general, say I want to do it? I would love to daven. I would love to learn shas. I would love to do chesed. I would love to give a lot of tzedakah. Why do I actually have to do it? The reason in general that one has to do, v'lo dai she'asa davarak machshava, and it's not enough to just think about doing, ki e efshar la'adam lidmos b'machshav to ki'ilu asa ma'isu v'po'o. Because as much as you could think about it, as much as you could dream about it, there's only so much you could achieve it in your mind. There's a disconnect. you're not able to get to the point where you're fully attached to the thing. So in order to give it physical expression in this world, you actually have to do it. Avram reached such a level at the Akedah that his willingness to do it was not at all disconnected from his desire to do it, from his ability to do it, to the point that Hashem says, there's nothing more to gain by actually doing it. Usually it doesn't work like that. By normal human beings, he says, La'olam yesh chiluk bein ha'asiyah b'po'al ha'machshava. Usually there's some type of gap between, well, I could do it, I want to do it, I should do it. So Hashem says, yeah, but come on. You actually have to do it. If you're going to show me you're serious about it, then do it. Avram reached such a madriga, his machshava was so absolute, his commitment was so absolute, that nothing was gained by doing it. Aval Avram Avinu osa b'machshavto akeda. He did the akeda in his mind. Ki'ilu osa akeda b'pa'ol. As if it had happened. V'lechein hayadai ba'akrovas ha'ayal b'makom Yitzchak. So Hashem says, you don't have to touch Yitzchak. Don't touch it. Don't touch the kid. And Avram said, please, can I, maybe I can cut him a little bit? No, don't touch him. Hashem says, you want to give it some type of expression in the physical world? So take a ram. But a ram is not Yitzchak. Yitzchak is done. Yitzchak's gone. Yitzchak's been offered at the Akedah. But he's still alive right here. Yeah, but your machshava was so there that it's as if it happened. By Avram, there was no difference whether he's sacrificing his own child or he's sacrificing an animal. And it's not because Avram was not a sensitive person. And he was just a cold-hearted person who didn't care about his child any more than an animal. The opposite. He was so madly in love with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, his bittul to Hashem was so absolute that whatever it is, whatever you need, Hashem. You want a ram? I'll give you a ram. You want my son? My legacy, my future, my everything, I'll give that to you also. So therefore, there was nothing more to gain by shechting Yitzchak than shechting a ram. V'lechein amru chazal, therefore chazal used the following expression. The Medrash says that what? That the afer, what's afer with an aleph? Afar with an ayin is dust, afer is ashes. The ashes of Yitzchak are tzabur lefanav, are gathered before Hashem. In the Mizbeach Shamala, you could see the ashes of the Akedah Seder. What ashes? He didn't burn him. He didn't shecht him. He didn't offer him. What does that mean when Chazal tells us the ashes of Yitzchak are before Hashem's throne? Are on the Mizbeach in Shemayim? What does that mean? And the answer is, because from a heavenly perspective, it was done. Ki nechshav eitzel l'kadosh baruch hu, ki ilu asa sakedah b'pala. Because from Hashem's perspective, the Akedah took place. His machshava was so there. So now, Chavi, you're starting to understand why Akedah Yitzchak plays such an important role in Rosh Hashanah. Because in Rosh Hashanah, that was the day, Tishrei, Aleph Tishrei, is when Hashem created the world by machshava. And it's the day where I have to try as hard as I can, as I'm no Avram Avinu, let's be honest, but I have to try as hard as I can to really get there in machshava, to really get there in machshava. Not to just go through the motions of the Yom Noram and say, yeah, this year I'm going to change this, and I want to start doing this, and I want to start doing this. I want to get to a point where I'm so mentally committed to it that it's as if it's already, you know, the scorecard in Shemayim is already like tallying my successes, even though I haven't done anything yet. But it's so, I've made such a strong commitment that Tav Shin Pei is going to be the year where I go to Minyan every day, that Hashem already gives me credit for it because He sees that I mean business this time. When I said it last year, I'm saying it like, eh, I should, I could, I want to. But now I really want to. And now I really want to. And that's the goal of Rosh Hashanah, to get to that place. V'zehu be'emes tviya al kol adam. Shemachshavto yiyeh ki'ilu osas akol b'povel. And again, this is the challenge that Hashem offers us. Every person is challenged. Can I actualize my desire? Can I get there in my mind to such a degree that it's as if I'm already doing it? Because I really meant it when I said I'm going to change this year. That my mind is fully in. Not, well, I want to start doing it, but. No but. Once there's that but, then Hashem says, then I can't give you any credit until you actually start doing it. But if you say, Mamish, I'm going to do it, like the Rashi and Chumash, by Moshe and Aaron. They're told to do something. Vayasu Kain. They did it. And Rashi says they didn't do it yet. They did it. From Hashem's perspective, when Hashem said, do this, by them it was already done. It's not a shaila in the world. There's nothing in the world that's going to stop them from getting it done. That it should be done completely. Shlemus. Machshava she'ein la shum peniyah. Right? A state of mind which has no ulterior motive. And there's no inclination one way or another other than straight to Hashem. Ve'im ha-machshava hu shlema az nechshav ha-davar ki'ilu nishlam b'maisa. If a person's mind is fully there, it's as if it's already done. Va'muta la'adam hu ha-ratzan ha-machshava. And again, that which we're charged with is having the thoughts. Ki'in l'chal davar ha-omid b'fnei ha-ratzan. Because nothing stands in the way of at least wanting to do, and be'emes wanting to do. And that's what the Gemara says, if you really want to do a mitzvah, and something outside of your control stops, you get credit as if you did it. Because from Hashem's perspective, Hashem sees that your machshavah is, it's as if it's done. Okay, so Eliyahu Ezra taught me a little while back a piece from the Eish Kodesh. The second day of Sukkot, Tafshin Aleph, 1941. Here's what the Eish Kodesh says. It's probably 1940 because Sukkot is still the end of the calendar. So 1940 probably. But Tafshin Aleph, the year Tafshin Aleph. Eish Kodesh, the Piazetz, the Rebbe, the Warsaw Ghetto Rebbe, who died al Kiddush Hashem. There's a lecture taking place in YU today at 12 o'clock. Someone who did a lot of research on the Halakha Piazetz and the Sefer Eish Kodesh. And Eish Kodesh says an amazing thing. Akedas Yitzchak took place the Machshava, but it didn't take place l'maisa, right? Because Hashem called it off. Yitzchak walked away without a scratch on his body. Now, the Gedaliah is telling us it did take place l'maisa, right? In a heavenly realm, it took place l'maisa. The ashes of Yitzchak are gathered in front of Hashem and Shammai. In terms of the physical world, you're right, nothing happened. Well, he brought the aisle, he brought the ram instead. The Eish Kodesh says a very powerful and very sad thing. Avraham was told to do the Akedah. He did it b'machshava, but he didn't do it l'maisa. So in a certain sense, again, according to Gedaliah, Akedah was perfect. It was done. But you could argue, from a different perspective, in a certain sense, the Akedah was never finished. Right? Meaning he only did it mentally, but he never did it l'maisa. So the Eish Kodesh, again, writing to Jews who know their lives are... Many are, you know, going to be snuffed out very soon. And they're fearful for their lives as the Nazis close in around them. The Eish Kodesh says that throughout Jewish history, when Jews die al Kiddush Hashem, when a Jew is brutally murdered for being a Jew, that's the second half of the Akedah. That's the second half of the Akedah. The first half of the Akedah is when Hashem was mitzavah, Hashem commanded the Akedah, and we did it b'machshava. The second half of the Akedah is when Hashem didn't command it, because already Tzibur was already fulfilled by Avraham Avinu. But we needed the Maisa. We needed the Maisa Akedah. And therefore, the Eish Kodesh, the Piazetz Rebbe, is mechazik, the people saying, realize that if you become the second half of the Akedah, right, just realize how chashuv that is. It's tragic. But realize, when we talk about the Zchus of Akedah Yitzchak, L'dorei Doras, as being like the ultimate Zchus, that the Slichos is filled with the Akedah, and the Yom Noram davening is filled with the Akedah. And we're always drawing on the merit of the Akedah. The Akedah was not just about Akedah Yitzchak. It's about the Akedah of every Jew throughout history who died on Akedah Hashem. That's the second half of the Akedah. It's a very, very powerful idea. But according to the Gedaliah, the Akedah was complete. Avram did it so fully in his mind that it was complete. But it's an important, this Piazetz is an important idea. Again, to realize that in a certain sense it wasn't complete. And any Jew, again, who, really any Jew who suffers, but certainly a Jew who dies for being a Jew, but really any Jew who endures any type of physical hardship, maybe also I would say emotional hardship, financial hardship, right? The job you didn't get simply because you were a Jew, that's also part of Akedas Yitzchak. That's point number one I want to make. The second point I want to make is a letter from Rav Yitzchak Huttner. Rav Huttner, in the Pachad Yitzchak, in the letters, letter 152, it's a letter written to Rav Moshe Scher, who some of us learned about last night, one of the great lay leaders of the Jewish people, who was involved in all sorts of projects to help Klal Yisrael. An amazing leader, the Agudas Yisrael, a person who used his creativity and political connections to really help Klal Yisrael at large. So he was working on a project for a number of years, and it didn't happen. He was trying to pass some legislation. He couldn't get it through. And he wrote to Rav Hutner, and he was speaking to Rav Hutner. So Rav Hutner sent him the following letter. Okay, listen to this letter. I'm not going to read you the whole letter. But Rav Hutner quotes to him, he quotes to Rav Moshe Sher, he quotes to him a teaching from Rav Yisrael Salanter. Now, I had a special schluss because my Yiddish isn't so good. I needed to find someone to help me decipher the letter, because part of it's in Yiddish. So I got to sit with Rav Yitzchak Kohn, which is a big schluss. If you don't even know who that is, you should really find out who he is and just learn from him. An authentic Baal Musar, person of tremendous Yirah Shemayim, and just it rubs off on you just being around him. So I said, Rebbe, can you help me with this teaching from Rav Yisrael Salanter? So we sat together and he helped me with it. Here's what Rav Yisrael Salanter said. Rav Yisrael Salanter said that when a person is oisek in klal zachen, when a person is involved in communal matters, there are three things that are very important to remember. Rav Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musar movement. When a person is working on projects on behalf of the Jewish people, you're involved in the klal, you've got big aspirations and big hopes, you're going to do something great for the world, for the Jewish people, you're involved in the klal, the tzibur. Three things you need to remember. Right? A person has to be makabel zayin drei kabbalos. He has to think about these three things. Nisht by zverin, not to be angry. Don't get angry. Nisht. My Yiddish is terrible. Nish something varin, nish farm tired varin, not to get tired. Un nish velin oisvern, and not to say, it has to be my way. Three things. If you're trying to make a difference in the world, you have to not get angry, not get frustrated, right? Not get tired, you got to keep pushing, got to keep working. And also, accept that it doesn't always have to be your way. I had this idea for the project, and then, you know, I brought someone else in, and the project kind of took on a different direction. So now, like, it's not exactly what I had in mind when I thought of this brilliant idea. It doesn't always have to be your way. It doesn't have to. You don't have to push your way. So he writes to Moshe Sher. He says, "Hinei b'shtei kabbalos harishonos. The first two, you passed with flying colors. You didn't get frustrated. You didn't get angry. Right? You never got tired. But at the end of the day, you didn't get your way." It didn't work. Right? Whatever it is you were working on for years, this project you were working on, right? You showed unbelievable resolve and dedication to not get frustrated, to not get angry. You kept trying, right? And you never got tired, despite all the setbacks along the way. But now, it's not happening. So you didn't get your way. It didn't play itself out. L'maisa. So says Rav Yitzchak Kuttner. He says, I can testify, you didn't get angry and you didn't get tired. But now you have the third nisayon, which is what? I didn't get my way. It didn't work out. Lemaisa, it didn't happen. No, what's Rav Hutner going to say? One of the greatest things in Jewish history that we draw on its merit like crazy throughout our whole lives didn't happen. What didn't happen? Akedas Yitzchak. We come Rosh Hashanah, we say, in the merit of the Akedah. What Akedah? There was no Akedah. Says Rav Hutner, there was no Akedah. Rav Hutner says, "Halo aleinu ladas shekol masha anachnu mevakshu mispalnim. All the tefillos that we daven shetamud lanu zchus hakedah Hashem. Let the merit of Akedas Yitzchak stand to protect us, so Hashem could say to us, 'You never did the Akedah. I canceled the Akedah.' Harei sof sof hakedah hu inyan shalonis kaim bepoel mamish. It never happened. Again, according to what we're learning in the Or Gedaliah, it did happen. It happened in a way that's totally different than the way things usually happen. It happened through machshav." But on the more simple level, the Akedah didn't happen. So you could say, what merit is it for us? And yet the Jewish people rely on the Akedah throughout the generations. So what was he saying to Moshe Sher? You work so hard on this project and you feel like that was a big waste of time. He says, I promise you it was not a big waste of time. Akedah Yitzchak also took a lot of emotional energy to get there, and when Avram's standing there, Hashem cancels it. Like, that was a waste. Why did I make myself crazy over nothing? The answer is, it wasn't nothing. In fact, the Akedah is the biggest chus that we have, even though it never happened. So says Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, don't be frustrated. and don't feel that because it didn't play out l'maisa the way you envisioned it, that it was a failure. This is a really important letter and a really important lesson in life. As long as you did your part, Hashem says, we're good. You got to really do your part. You got to be sincere. You got to be all in. Again, being all in on the Madrega of Avram, that it's as if it was done, right? We can't actually make it happen with our minds. But we can get the schar from Hashem, that Hashem could say, I saw that you were absolutely sincere about making that change in your life, about doing that thing, about accomplishing that goal. Yeah.
I've never seen it inside, but I've heard it quoted many times in Medrash that says that Rashid Malik happened. And would that be on an Ori Dalyahu level, or would that be...
I mean, it has to be. The Pashas of the Psukim is that Yitzhak, you know, lives on after the Akedah. He disappears for 3 years. That's a big question the Sfarim deal with. The Akedah, he's 37 years old. He's like... disappeared from 37 to 40. Where did he go? All right, this is very interesting. It's a good Sunday topic. What happened to Yitzchak after he came there for 3 years? Shows up again at 40 and he gets married. Where did he go for those 3 years? He didn't come down the mountain with Avram. Doesn't say they walked back together. Where did he go? So one opinion, he went to learn.
No.
They did come back together? No. They went there together. Let's check.
Avram was going back, but it doesn't mention Yitzchak.
It doesn't mention Yitzchak.
Does it say the Yerush
Nayyaf? No, they went up together. And the Arizal says the mixing of Chesed and Gur, I think. Okay? All right, Chava, let's go weiter. Be Yerushalmi. So yeah, I would think again, that's more on our Gedaliah level of... It did happen on a certain level. The ashes of Yitzchak are gathered in front of Hashem and Shammai. Okay? He quotes Yerushalmi. Take a look at this Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on the bottom right hand corner, "Bichol hakarbanos ksiv v'kravtem." In Parshas Pinchas, when it goes through the karbanos that we bring on the holidays, it always talks about what? Offering the karbanos. V'kravtem. V'kan, but by Rosh Hashanah ksiv v'asisem. It says, "Do the karbanos." Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, "Mikevan shenichnastem ledin lefanai Rosh Hashanah v'yatzasem b'shalom." Mala ani aleichem ki ilu nevresem bria chadasha. Says the Talmud Yerushalmi, usually by the karbanos, it says, v'kraftem, you offered a karban. By Rosh Hashanah's karban, it says, v'asisem. What was made? What was done? Says the Talmud Yerushalmi, when you go before Hashem in din, and you emerge b'shalom, it's as if what? Asisem is atzmechem. You are recreated. You are bria chadasha. You are recreated. And you become recreated. It's not just you dropped off your carbon and you went home. On Rosh Hashanah, you walk out a different person. The Medrash says, it's as if you made yourself, you recreated yourself. What does that mean? Ki b'Rosh Hashanah nechshav ki'ilu, top of the left column. Rosh Hashanah, it's as if ki'ilu ha'adam hikriv es atzma l'karbon. Again, if Rosh Hashanah is the day of the Akedas Yitzchak, you have to realize, like the Ramban writes on Chumash, every carbon that a Jew ever dropped off in the Beis HaMikdash, what's his mindset? What's it supposed to be thinking? That should be me. I should be the one. The animal's taking my place. And therefore, on the day that we commemorate Yitzchak being on the Akedah, right? Yitzchak, who we all come from, we have to all put ourselves, so to speak, on the Akedah. We have to sacrifice ourselves for Hashem. And recreate ourselves. Yitzchak was born again after the Akedah. He got a new neshama, the whole sugya. He had a female neshama prior to the Akedah, and he got a male neshama. That's why he didn't get married till after the Akedah. Very, very deep things. He's only called the son of Sarah prior to the Akedah. After the Akedah, he's called Ben Avraham. Hashem beirachas Avram bakol. Rashi says, Hashem bless Avram bakol. Rashi says, bakol is gematria ben. Avram had a son. Yeah, 40 years ago. No. Avram just had his son now. Yitzchak was born again at the Akedah. So Rosh Hashanah, of course, that's what we're all going through. We're all being recreated. Asisim as atzmecha, we recreate ourselves. V'ulai zeh kavana shemazkir min zuchus shel Akedah Yitzchak Rosh Hashanah. So that's why we talk about Akedah Yitzchak Rosh Hashanah. It's a day of what? Of rebirth. Through surrender, through sacrifice. Sha'odam tzarech lahakriv es atzma l'karban b'Rosh Hashanah. We offer ourselves as karbanos Rosh Hashanah. Kamo shehikriv Avram avinu es Yitzchak. And just like Avram offered Yitzchak, not l'maisa, no one's asking you to kill yourself on Rosh Hashanah physically. but I surrender myself in Rosh Hashanah the way that what? That Avram in his mind had given up Yitzchak to Hashem. Shitzarech lahargish ki'ilu hikir v'sasma l'karban. Would I be prepared to give my life for Hashem b'chol nafshecha? Would I be prepared to die proudly as a Jew? Not that Chas v'Shalom we ever want that. But am I prepared mentally? Have I reached a level of connection to Hashem that I would be prepared to make whatever in my life would be the ultimate sacrifice? That's what a Kedas Yitzchak means. Rav Shimon Schwab, in his Sefer on Eov, has a beautiful piece where he talks about the Akedah of the mind. The Akedah of the mind, we live with it all. The Akedah of the mind. I was talking to someone on my ride home last night. Someone called me. I'm talking to this couple. The guy, he doesn't go to YU. The girl doesn't go to Stern. Somehow one of their friends said that maybe I could offer them some advice. So I spoke to him the other day. I spoke to her. Right? And we were talking about the natural struggle. She said she grew up, you know, more modern, whatever that term means. And this is her first, like, serious Shomer Negiah relationship. And it's a big struggle for her. So I said, the first thing you have to understand is that makes a lot of sense. That's normal. Right? Meaning, of course, any healthy, you know, relationship of love, there's a longing for physical touch. Makes sense. Not to, like, convince yourself it doesn't make sense. Of course it makes sense. Right? And when Hashem asks you to not touch, there's something very unnatural about that. In a certain sense, Hashem is asking you to what? To contradict everything your brain is telling you and your heart is telling you. Your body's telling you. Rav Shimon Schwab has a beautiful piece in Sefer Eov, which is really the Sefer of Tanakh that raises the big questions of life, why a tzaddik suffers. And Rav Schwab coins the term, he calls it the Akedah of the mind, which is an amazing term. And he writes beautifully about it. That sometimes we are asked by the Torah to do things that are irrational, to make sacrifices. The Medrash describes a person, a couple, you know, a person comes to be with his beloved, with his wife, and there's a longing to be intimate with her, and then she sees a drop of blood, she becomes a nida. Okay? And he withdraws, he stops himself, he controls himself. As unnatural as it is, as painful as it is, as hard as that is, right? Hashem is asking you to what? To sacrifice your mind to God. What do you mean? How can you ask that of me? It's impossible. Akedah Yitzchak was impossible. Perachav Aleph, Hashem says to Avram, Yitzchak is your future. Perachav Beis, go kill your son. That's a contradiction. It's impossible. You're asking me to throw out my brain for you, Hashem. Sacrifice my mind. And Hashem says, yes, I am. And that's exactly what happened at Akedah Yitzchak. In terms of the action, Avram didn't do it. But in terms of surrendering his mind, that's the carbon that we all offer ourselves on Rosh Hashanah. I say, I'm not going to try to live my life my way, I'm going to try to live my life your way, Hashem. And that's a tremendous sacrifice. V'akol hu b'zchuso shel Akedas Yitzchak, shenosan hakoach l'chol hadoros, shebiyecholes ha'odim l'hakiv atzma l'karbon. We have a concept that's written about a lot in Chassidus Shesvarim. The Sfas Emes talks about it in numerous places. That there's a spiritual DNA. How is it shayach for you, right, to take a summer internship, and this non-Jewish girl keeps inviting you out to drinks after work, right, and somehow you find the strength to say no? Where do you get that strength from? You know where you get that strength from? It's part of your spiritual Yerusha, your spiritual inheritance. Who gave you that inheritance? Yosef HaTzadik. When Yosef HaTzadik rejected Eishes Potiphar, it became part of the spiritual narrative of the Jewish people, the DNA of the Jewish people for all generations, is that we can also say no. And when Avram threw himself into a fiery furnace, Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, Tanya says it and the Kedushas Levi say it also, from that point forward, Avram made it possible for all Jews to what? To be prepared to die al Kiddush Hashem. Yitzchak did the same thing. There's a spiritual Yerusha that we have. There's a spiritual DNA that we have passed from one generation to the next. So says the Gedaliah, Avram Avinu and Yitzchak, their willingness to do this made it possible for us to do it as well. And that's why the Pasuk says in Bereishis Chav Beis, Nelcha Ad Ko, we're going to go to there, to that place. Umefarish HaSfas Emes, the Sfas Emes explains, what does that mean? The Akedah is going to go till there, to that place. So Hashem says, what else does the word ko remind you of? When Hashem says to Avram, ko yiyeh zarecha. So shall be your children. Nelcha ad ko, says the Sfasemis. The Akedas Yitzchak is going to what? It's going to go ko yiyeh zarecha. It's going to be part of the Jewish story forever. There'll be Jews who are willing to die al kiddush Hashem. There's Jews who are willing to surrender their mind to the will of God. Says the Sfasemis that the ko is ko yiyeh zarecha. Ki ba Akedas Yitzchak Paul. That the Akedah, in the way that Avram did it, he made it possible for everyone to do the same. That every Jew should be prepared to make that sacrifice. And to go a step further, my friends, Nelchad Ko, it doesn't just mean that the Akedah goes for all generations, right? But at the Akedah, Avram experienced what? All of history. I want to tell you something that the first time I read in the Or Gedaliah shook me, mamish, in a deep way. He writes it in Parshas Vayera, but he's alluding to it right now. Think about what Avram has to consider at the Akedah. Just think about this for a second, and you'll have a much deeper understanding of what it means that he went all in b'machshava. Okay? Split screen. One side of the screen, Avram kills Yitzchak. Other side of the screen, Yitzchak lives, Yaakov lives, yeah, and just take it from there. Moshe Rabbeinu lives, the Vilna Gaon lives, Rav Moshe Feinstein lives, the Baal Shem Tov lives, Rav Chaim Kanievsky lives, yeah, everyone lives. All of you live, Rav Herschel Schachter lives, and everything that all those people accomplished throughout history lives. Or, okay, this Yitzchak. So says Rav Gedaliah Shur in Parshas Vayera, he's hinting to it here. That means, he's going to say it a little bit open, but he says it much more open in the piece in Parshas Vayera. That means if Avram can't put all of the rest of Jewish history into the Akedah, then it's not a good trade. Right? Meaning, we're running a business here. We could either have Akedah Yitzchak, or we could have, I don't know, Rebbetzin Machlis. Or we can have Sar Shneur. Or we could have the Shem Yishuel. Or we could have Rav Shlomo Volbi, Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, and Rav Gedaliah Shur. So if you can't, Avram Avinu, if you can't get the Akedah to be worth it, then it's not worth it. If your Machshava can't be the equivalent of the rest of Jewish history, then it's better not to do the Akedah. And Avram somehow was able to be Mekayim both. He was able to get there in a place of machshava that it would have been worth it to what? To give up Yitzchak. Realizing that along with giving up Yitzchak, think about everything else that comes along with that. There's no Chafetz Chaim. There's no Rav Yosef Cairo. There's no Berditchever. There's no Balatanya. Everything. Right? There's no you putting a penny in the pushka today. We're trading all of that for Akedas Yitzchak. That is unbelievable. So at the moment of the Akedah, Avram had to what? He saw all of Jewish history before his eyes. Kedivrei HaYalkut, as the Medrash explained that we brought before, that ram that did replace Yitzchak also contained within it the shofar of Mashiach, the shofar of Har Sinai. It's this all-encompassing moment, and Avram put himself, he threw himself into it wholeheartedly. So chevre, every Rosh Hashanah we have the opportunity, again, it's very daunting the way we're presenting it, but on Rosh Hashanah, we have to go all in. You have to show up fully to shul. To put yourself into it. At the Akedah, there was all of the Kvod Shemayim of history. Every mitzvah a Jew would ever do, every Kiddush Hashem a Jew would ever do, every Perek of Tehillim a Jew would ever daven. It has to all be present at the Akedah. So Avram already achieved it in his mind, and now you have to do it. The tefillin that you put on this morning, Avram already did that for you. B'machshava. Now you're just adding your piece, l'maisa, tying it to your arm. You say, I don't know what kavanah I'm supposed to have when I put on my tefillin. Don't worry about it so much. I mean, a little bit you should worry about it because there's halachas, but don't worry about it so much because Avram took care of it already. Like the Ish Kodesh said. Avram did it b'machshava. The Jews are now playing it out, l'maisa. Okay? Last paragraph on the page. But coming back to Rav Sadia Gaon, Rav Sadia Gaon's simple understanding of the Akedah, right, is that the Akedah we recall on Rosh Hashanah because the Akedah means sacrifice. And as Jews on Rosh Hashanah, we have to think, did I sacrifice enough for Hashem this year? Did I give of myself for Hashem, or was I selfish in Tav Shanayin Tas? Was it about me, or is it about God? V'yinei eina kavana b'zeh. L'mashi yadua etzleinu l'mesiras nefesh. Right? Says Rav Gedalia Shor, don't make the mistake. When we talk about mesiras nefesh, that's not, our brain immediately goes to Jews being killed for being Jews. That's not what it means. It also means that. Hainu laharog es atzma al kiddush Hashem, to die al kiddush Hashem. It also means that. But all the tzaddikim say there's an even higher level in a certain sense, and that's called living al kiddush Hashem. To live al kiddush Hashem. Rak mesiras nefesh, hakavana l'mesiras ritzono. Giving up your nefesh for Hashem means giving up your desires for Hashem. In fact, the word nefesh is sometimes a code word for desire. As he quotes here, nefesh hu milashon im yesh es nafshechem. Anyone remember what that is? In Parshas Chayisar, when Avram is negotiating Maras HaMachpelah, he says, im yesh es nafshechem. What does that mean? It means if you want. So mesiras nefesh means surrendering your wants to Hashem. Being mevatel your ratzon. Surrendering your will for Hashem. When a person says, I want to be in a not Shomer Negiah relationship, but Hashem wants me to be in a Shomer Negiah relationship. I want to do what I want on Shabbos, and Hashem says, I have to think about all these halachos on Shabbos. Right? I want to sleep late, and Hashem says, I want you to get up and daven. Anytime you do that, it's called Mesiras Nefesh. It's a little bit of an Akedas Yitzchak, the greatest chus of Jewish history. That he brings from Chazal. Beautiful is a Shah Achas of Tshuva and Maisim Tovim. What does the word Shah mean? Right? You could say it's a moment, it's a minute, it's an hour. There's different ways to translate it. But Shah is also a Lashon of Ratzon. Beautiful is what? Is one Ratzon of Tshuva and Maisim Tovim. Where do we see that Shah means a desire? It says by Cain and Hevel, the Al Minchaso Lo Sha'a. Hashem didn't desire Cain's offering. So even a desire of tshuva, a momentary desire of tshuva, but if it's a real moment, a real heartfelt moment, that's an amazing thing. It says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it's greater than everything else in the world. Shakavana Shemesiras Haritzonos Mitoch Yishav Adas, when a person, again, not bitterly surrenders his will to Hashem, but a person who happily says, Hashem, if this is what you want, this is what I want. To do it b'simcha. As the Zohar says, machshava is the same letters as b'simcha. To do it b'simcha. That's a sign that you're all in. Simcha and shleimus always go together. Wholesomeness and happiness go together. When a person is happy, it's usually an indication that their life is feeling whole. When a person is depressed, it usually means things are out of whack. Things are out of sync. Yeah, so Avram was able to do Akedas Yitzchak b'simcha, v'yashkim Avram b'boker, at least according to some, right? Because he was shalim. He was shalim with the decision. His b'simcha was his machshava, the same letters. So when a person is able, not to, again, angrily say, fine, God, I'll do it for you this year, but to say, Hashem, I want, it's my ratzon, it's my desire to do it for you. So that's the most chashuv thing in the world. Okay, and I'll just read you the last line and a half, which you don't have on the page in front of you, but the piece ends, he says, this is one of the essential feelings a Jew brings to Rosh Hashanah. And this is what it means, Malchios. To be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu means to make Hashem the king over my desires and over my will. And when I give my mind up for Hashem, when I experience the Akedah of the mind, and I surrender to Hashem, and I picture myself as being a carbon, Then Hashem says, you get full credit, even before it happens. Because I know this year you're sincere. Okay, so halavai, we should come to Rosh Hashanah and to the days of Slichos, and we should draw, not just we're trying to bank on the avos. They did something great, so we're just gonna cash in on it. But to try, like it says in Chazal, to walk in the footsteps of the avos and to try to live in the way of the avos. Yes, Dov. The 9/11 part. Okay, so I'll tell it to you quickly. Yeah. Yeah, so on the pasuk Mishamayim Hishmata Din Eretz Yara Veshakta. So this is, today is September 11th. So Rav Gedalia Shor, our Rebbe, so his son Rav Avram Shor, after the terrible attack on the Twin Towers, so he said the following vart from the Yid HaKadosh. And it's a scary vart, but it's important for us to think about both in the context of the September 11th tragedies and terror attacks, and also in the context of Rosh Hashanah. Here's the vart. I mean, the Gemara really asked the question. We saw the question yesterday, right? The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Mishamayim Mishmata Din, from the heavens you heard a judgment. Eretz Yara Veshakta. The earth was what? Was afraid and was calm. So the Gemara says, Im Yara Lama Shakta, Mishakta Lama Yara. How do you have Yira and Sheket going together? How do you have tremendous fear and silence going together? Now, just to contextualize it for a second, it happens to be sometimes when tragedies strike, fear and silence actually do go together. I once read a terrible description of a bus bombing in Israel, and a person who ran to the scene to try to help, and he said the worst sound after a terror attack is silence, because that means everyone's dead. If you hear people crying and screaming and yelling for help, you know, that means there's still a spark of life. But this person describes a very painful, the bombing on Rehov Yafo. Once read a whole book about it. So he describes in the beginning, this fellow describes when he's running to the scene, and he said, and getting there, you want to hear people crying for help. The silence is the scariest thing in the world. And the same thing is true. There's a certain terrifying calm or silence after the towers collapsed, and the dust settles a little bit, right? And everything is just wiped out. So there is a yira that goes with a sheket. But the Gemara asks the more simple question that usually yira, when there's panic, when there's fear, they're screaming. Sheket is calm, is silence. Yara lama shaktim, shakta lama yara. So what was the Gemara's answer yesterday? That the world was nervous until we accepted the Torah, and then the world was able to breathe a sigh of relief. The Yira Kadosh said like this. And here's how Rav Avram Shor explained it, because Mishamayim Hishmata Din. Is there a bigger Midas Adin than a plane? Mishamayim Hishmata Din, than a plane crashing in, taking out a huge building like that? So Rav Avram Shor spoke after 9/11. He said, Mishamayim Hishmata Din. We all saw and heard. I was in YU at the time. Remember when it happened? I was in college at the time. Mishamayim Hishmata Din. From the heavens we heard Hashem. Again, obviously these Rishon were responding. Mishamayim Mishmat Adin. From Shemayim you heard and you saw. Here's what the Yid HaKadosh of Prashischa said. When Hashem punishes you, you could do one of two things. When Hashem sends you a wake-up call, you could do one of two things. You could be makabel it and really internalize it. You could hear the shofar and wake up and get the message and say, Hashem, I got it. I'm going to make some changes. Or you can kind of, you know, hit the snooze button and go back to sleep. So the Yira Kadosh said, Mishamayim Mishmat Adin, when Hashem gives you a patch, right? Eretz Yara Veshakta. If you're afraid, meaning what? If you get the message, then what's going to follow that patch? What's going to follow that punishment? Shakta. Hashem says, good, you got it. I don't have to, Baruch Hashem, you got it. I don't have to, God forbid, strike again. But if Hashem punishes you and you callously ignore it, then what does Hashem have to do to get you to pay attention? He has to hit you harder. He has to shake you a little harder to wake you up, because you're just not getting it. So Rav Shor said, this was such a Midas Adin. This was the most, you know, horrible attack on American soil in history. Im Eretz Yara, if we get it, then Shakta, then Halavayah, we should never see such a thing ever, ever, ever again. But if God forbid, we don't internalize, if we don't get the message, if we don't decide, it has to make you think. I can't just, you know, go back to my routine the next day as if nothing happened, right? Then Chas V'Shalom, the Yir HaKadosh said, then Hashem has to scare us even more. So that's the pshat of the pasuk. Mishamayim Mishmat Adin, whenever Hashem sends Midas Adin, right? Eretz Yara, if the land is Yara, if we're afraid, if we internalize it, if we fear, then Shakta, then there can be a calm after the storm. But if God forbid we don't get it, then God forbid Hashem has to turn up the volume. So that's also a little bit the kavanah in the shofar. When you hear the shofar, say, Hashem, I got it. I hear what the shofar is saying to me. And I don't need you to, God forbid, send any midas hadin my way to help me to you know, in quotes, to really get it. It's a very powerful var. Okay, we should learn the lessons of history well. Shkoyach, stop here.